News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
My next guest has a new book called The Royal Butler, My Remarkable Life of Royal Service. Grant Harold, former butler to Princes Charles, William and Harry, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Lovely to talk to you. How does one become a royal butler?
Through madness as a kid. When I was in my early teenage years, I remember watching a movie called Remains of the Day. And that's where this idea of becoming a butler came from, because I thought, what an amazing... as a kid, loving castles and palaces and things, I thought, what an amazing lifestyle. And you'd get to live in... Well, I assumed you'd get to live in castles and palaces.
Yeah, I'm guessing, did reality bite quite quickly when you realised the butler didn't live in the palace?
It did. I mean, obviously, when I started getting into the world of butlers, you did get to live in amazing places and get to be around amazing people. But you kind of, I kind of forgot about the long hours and the hard work that goes alongside it.
Okay, well, tell me, when did you enter, at what point in the royal story did you enter service?
So that was in 2004. Throughout my kind of training, I did some training for several years before at different houses, including Woburn Abbey. And the kind of pinnacle, the thing that I wanted to get to was to work for the royal family, because quite simply, I wanted to meet and get to know Queen Elizabeth. That was my dream again as a youngster. And so as I got older and I realised that butlering was the kind of profession I went into, I thought, well, for me, the top job would be to work for the royal family. And of course, in 2004, after 6 months of interviews, I was taken on as a butler in the household of the Prince of Wales, which saw me then get to meet Queen Elizabeth and other members of the family.
Now, it is always a risk to meet someone that you have held in high regard, because they may turn out to have been an awful person. But that wasn't your experience with the Queen, was it?
It wasn't, and it's a really good observation, because one of the stories, or one of the main things about the book, is I talk about this ambition and dream of wanting to meet the Queen, but also wanted to dance with her. And interestingly, on the evening that I was at this ball at Balmoral Castle, exactly as you just said, I had this fear, this panic hit me as I said to now Queen Camilla, I told her about this ambition. And I remember thinking, I probably shouldn't dance with her, because it could, you know, my dreams and my what I kind of thought it would be like might not be what it's like. And so suddenly I started kind of backtracking and thinking, oh, this is a bad idea. But I'm pleased to say that she was exactly how I imagined it to be, if not even more funnier than what I ever imagined as well.
One of the challenges, of course, was then moving to your permanent residence, which was Highgrove, at a very important time then for the King and William and Harry, because there would have been, I suppose it was the period after Diana, Princess of Wales, had passed away a number of years before. Camilla was about to become she wasn't going to be the Princess of Wales, but she was going to be part of that family. So what was the tension like in that house at that stage?
It was interesting times, because as someone said to me recently, it was very much a kind of golden phase. And what they mean, it was after, obviously, sadly, the death of Princess Diana. Obviously, he had rekindled his relationship with Camilla Parker Bowles. She was very much back into the fold. There was obviously a royal wedding. Suddenly, you had this new family unit. And my time there was during, because that's when Wayne was still living there, Harry was still living there, Catherine had come into this fold as well. So it was a really fun time, but it was interesting, because as you mentioned, I remember the discussions about the fact Camilla would not be Princess of Wales, she would be the Duchess of Cornwall, and then eventually at the time it was said that she'd probably be Princess Consort. Of course, that obviously changed as years and public opinion changed. So it was a very interesting time, and I feel very lucky to have been part of that kind of historic moment, if you like.
Grant, this is Ciara, Jonathan's co-host. Can I just jump in? The book, will there be any kind of secrets revealed? Because truthfully, I suspect a lot of people, like, things that they don't know about the royal family.
Yeah, I mean, I've said the whole way along, I'm really not trying to do a book on gossip or anything salacious. I leave that to other individuals to do. And this book is more, the reason it's said a remarkable life of royal service, it's to give people a kind of behind the scenes bit from I'm hoping that everyone will agree, from a positive point of view. So yes, there's untold stories and there's some great memories and fun stories with Queen Elizabeth and the King, and things that will make people laugh and it'll make people cry and it'll make people maybe even kind of question things. But it's not just about my time with the royal household. It's about my kind of childhood dreams.
Fair. I get what you're saying. It's not a tell-all kind of revealing memory.
No, I'm not trying to do that. But on saying that, as press have picked up, there is some really interesting stories in there that have obviously never been told before.
Can I ask you, did you find them, in all honesty, like a normal family? Because certainly from watching The Crown, one of the things that might be, I suppose, gleaned from that was a kind of a coldness in the upbringing of Prince Charles, and you know, that he didn't have much. The Queen as much as she was loved and all that in the UK, she was a tough woman in her own way, and a kind of a distance between Charles and his sons growing up.
No, see, I never witnessed that, and that's what's so difficult, because as I've openly talked about, the relationship between William and Harry and their father and their stepmother was, to my mind, like any other family, where if the stepmother's been accepted into the family, which I know some households sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This is a household where it very much worked, and they were a close family. And I know what they say about, you know, I've seen episodes of The Crown and I kind of see how they portray him, but it couldn't be further from the truth, because he was a very, very warm, kind, compassionate parent. And I think more so because of the fact that obviously the boys had lost their mother at such a young age.
Grant, when you look at this, though, I mean, there is clearly friction now. I know you're no longer part of the household, but when you see Harry clearly having fallen out with his brother, and you know, overtures to repair the relationship with his father not being received as well as perhaps they could be, does it upset you? Because you know the humans behind this, you know the people and the dynamic behind it. It must be upsetting for you to watch on.
Absolutely. I mean, when it all originally kind of started breaking down, and all the, do you remember all those years ago, all the different conflicting reports from the palace and from Harry's household, I disbelieved it. I went on interviews and disbelieved it and said it would never happen because they're so close. And now, obviously, it is true, and we've seen it and we've followed it. It is heartbreaking because this is a family that was very close. And what's really difficult, and I'm not trying to say that Harry's memories and my memories are obviously quite different, but the thing was, from my point of view, I didn't see a lot of what's been said. I just saw a close family that got on. So of course it makes me sad when I see the breakdown, and it also makes me sad that the end of Queen Elizabeth's life, she was aware of this breakdown and she saw this huge family fallout. And you know, the early part of her reign, or the early part of her life, was her uncle abdicating, which is a huge constitutional crisis, and then at the end of her life she's witnessed her grandson, you know, having a fallout with the family.
Can I ask, apart from writing a book, what does a former royal butler do? I mean, what career options are there for former butlers?
Well, I'm very lucky. Because when I went to work for the King and the Queen, I was already working in the media. I had done a reality show when I was quite young called Country House. And so as soon as I left the household, I went back into media. I went back into doing reality TV. I do etiquette tips. I've got a huge following of over 1 million followers on social media. I go on cruise ships and give talks about my life and give etiquette classes. So I basically travel the world, I have fun, and in between that I've managed to do a book.
Well, if you can come over here and give Ciara Kelly some etiquette tips, I tell you, it would be money well spent, Grant. Grant Harold, the book is available right now. It's called The Royal Butler, My Remarkable Life of the Royal Service. Thank you very much for joining us here on News Talk Breakfast.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.